Welcome to Ask the Expert North Texas here on News Radio 1080 KRLD. I'm David Rankin.
And I'm Kristen Diaz. It is now day three of the strike at some of our ports there and our major East Coast and Gulf Coast ports, including one right here in Texas, in Houston in particularly. On today's Ask the Expert, we have John Esparza. He is the president and CEO of the Texas Trucking Association. He joins us live here on the KRLD Afternoon News. Thank you so much for the time.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
We were really curious, you know, there's been a lot of misinformation that is circulating about this strike and how it's going to affect people. And we wanted to take a look on how particularly it will affect, you know, our neighbors here in Texas. And, you know, when you think of some of that cargo sitting on those, you know, docks, you hope that it's being able to get moved on time. But with this strike, of course, we just don't know how long things will continue to delay. We wanted to know, is our trucking system here in our state seeing an impact because of this strike?
Oh, it absolutely is. And even particularly right there in your listening area as well. You've got a lot of companies that operate both in this particular instance, the Port of Houston, where this is directly impacting with the ILA workers that are there and that run cargo and freight between Houston and DFW, given the Alliance Field and the intermodal hub that is the DFW area when it comes to rail and trucks. So the answer to that question is yes, there's an absolute impact most directly to those carriers and those truck drivers that are dealing with intermodal freight, what we call intermodal freight, which is all those boxes that you see on the shipments that are coming in and out of our Gulf ports in the state of Texas.
And it's a direct impact on the trucking industry because they don't have stuff to deliver, they don't have their hours, and they don't make their money.
Well, that is correct, especially when we talk about our independent contractors. You know, roughly half of the trucks that you see on our highways today are owned and operated by the driver. And those are the small businesses in the state of Texas. And oftentimes, like my grandfather had his own truck. My dad drove a truck for him. You know, he might be a little small company that leases himself out to larger companies. However, when you start talking about scalability of trucking companies, it is true, and I've been asked this question a lot over the course of the last week in anticipation of what might otherwise be a strike, and here we are, as you mentioned, day three, is a larger trucking company is going to be able to sustain a longer drought of freight when it comes to moving, especially moving intermodal containers. We have so many small companies out there that can't afford to, you know, have a zero cash flow effectively over the course of time. And more directly, those owner operators particularly, they're not getting paid if they're not driving trucks. So a lot of companies anticipated this, were working to, you know, working extended hours, opportunities that the port was providing in the event that something like this would happen. But can't sustain this for too long.
Yeah, you know, you make a great point. I know a lot of people who have their own trucks. They do a lot of contract work. And, you know, I'm just curious for the holidays, you know, that's usually a time that things really start to ramp up for their businesses. What is the projection right now for that coming into Q4?
Well, for the holidays in particular in the trucking industry, this is the holidays. This is the period of time where freight intended for holiday sale has been moving and is continuing to move. So September, October are very critical months when it comes to Christmas and, of course, the Thanksgiving season. So you are seeing freight that is intended for Q4 retail being moved now and has been the last several weeks. So very critical time. And then there will be consequence to that, certainly the longer this lasts.
So in anticipation of the possibility of this trucker strike or this dock worker strike, there had been a lot of preparation from a lot of companies, a lot of stores, for example, and they stockpiled going into the possibility of this. That must have helped the trucking industry prior to the dock worker strike, though.
It certainly does. But at the same time, you see, you know, the cargo and the flow of it ebbs and flows, you know, naturally as it might occur with the seasons and you know, what's ongoing. Every year you see a shift this time of the year, for instance, in fuel. when it comes to refineries. They start switching and move to making heating oil. So there's going to be a shift there in the required equipment, hazardous trucking, hazmat carriers that shift to that. So there's always shifts that are occurring that the industry is accustomed to. But when you see, you know, something like this, again, a larger company might start preparing for this type of a shift and has the capacity to survive longer, if you will, for a longer period of time, where a smaller company is going to, this is going to be difficult for them. And retailers are the same way. A retailer has been working weeks, for instance, if they're in the grocery business and selling bananas or avocados, you know, how are they outsourcing the prospect of losing their supply from somewhere else that might be coming from California or might be coming from Mexico as opposed to an overseas location? So a smaller grocery store, as an example, is going to have a harder time outsourcing or resourcing that particular commodity if they're relying on an intermodal shipment that is bringing that to them on a regular schedule. So that's the kind of things that you're going to start seeing. And produce is probably a good example of what we're all going to start seeing be affected more directly.
You know, John, that's a great education for all of us, you know, who don't live the lives of your truckers and know their day-to-day responsibilities, you know, as we think we do, you know. And just curious, as you are the head of this organization, you know, a lot of people look at, you know, the type of influence this organization can have to keep things going. What are those conversations like for you right now in the circles that you're associated with getting things moving?
Well, I mean, just in, you know, late yesterday and every day since this strike started and right before, as example, you know, the governor's office has been in touch with us on a daily basis asking that very question. John, you know, what are you hearing? What can we do to help? And even I have some of our members, you know, John, what can we as an association do to help? And it's a very helpless feeling to feel, you know, like we're not in the collective bargaining business when it comes to the negotiations that are occurring currently. My best advice has been to say and see that, hey, we've got you've got a political you're in a political season, and regardless of what you're hearing and reading about going back and forth with regards to that arrangement, early voting starts soon. So I think that they're, you know, my hope is that it not last up until that point of early voting, that this is, you know, by tomorrow we're having a different conversation. But we are at that time of the year and in a particular election cycle that has bearing on these discussions. I have no doubt about that. And hopefully there can be some conclusion to that so that we can continue to move the freight that's intended to be moved, especially that's perishable, that may already not be available to be moved in just a couple of days of this type of disruption.
We've got dock workers striking from Brownsville all the way up through Maine. Are there alternative methods for what the ships would be bringing in, alternative ways for bringing them in? Is air freight an option or other types of transportation?
Yep, there is, and there'll be alternative locations to bring it in, all of which the offset is time and cost. You know, you can imagine if you were to attempt to bring 14,000 TEU units on a ship, to transfer that via cargo aircraft, that is going to be very expensive. So a lot of that is not a reasonable example. But I know when it comes to perhaps more goods that are more sensitive or perhaps more necessary, if you're talking about medication or anything of that nature, you're going to see that those are going to start shifting in a manner that they can get certain measured quantities of. But what you will also see, and there's been discussion about, you know, whether these ships can move into different ports that have the ability to move them now. And even if they can, you're going to have other shipping companies, steamship lines, talk about doing that already as well. So it's going to put pressure on that local port, and you're going to see delays just on volume. And I think so either way, it's got a ripple effect through the freight and the logistics world, as it will have through the world of retail and what we want to see at our retail side and how we want to see it and when we want to see it, there could be easily disruptions there as well.
John, is there any advice you'd like to give our listeners who, you know, they are trying to understand this whole thing? It's, you know, it's something that they're concerned about. They want to know how it's going to affect their day to day. Just any words of encouragement or advice?
Yeah, this is not, you know, a lot of times you see runs on particular items when it comes to things of this nature. That is not something that we're encouraging, of course. And there's lots of different sources to get these things, and it's just going to encourage patience in this. And hopefully within a short amount of time, you know, we'll work through that. Much as we've worked through times of weather events that lead to similar delays, 3 and 4 days often, we've seen where specific ports are closed down. And rule of thumb, it's going to take for every one full day down, it could take as much as 3 to 5 days to recover from that. So, you know, here we are looking easily into a week of congestion. If things were to stop today, we would definitely be in a situation where it's going to take some time for freight to get back to normal when it comes to the intermodal containers and around the ports.
One last question for you, for me, is you mentioned the fact that it's 3 to 5 days for every day that they're out. How long can this dock worker strike go before it really puts a major hurtin' on the trucking business in Texas?
It already is in many cases. And again, look at a smaller carrier that's reliant on owner operators in particular. That's the first front. I mean, they're feeling it day one. You know, day two, day three, they're very concerned and they're worried about it. And I can't imagine a situation that lasts. Again, some of the historic dates that we've been hearing about, you know, the last time a strike like this occurred, how long did that last? I don't foresee that. I think the demand is so great and the cost per day on the economy is so great that these things tend to get ironed out. But, not being a part of those discussions or those conversations, one can only hope that they're doing all they can to get to the table and get something ironed out so that we can see as little further disruption as we've already occurred today.
That is John Esparza, the president and CEO of the Texas Trucking Association, here on KRLD. Thanks so much for the time.